All right, so what I was gonna do was go through it and just go through the tools. First of all, I'll tell you, I'm Joan. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm also a sugar drug addict. So my higher power has removed sugar from my life for the last 2 years ago in July. So it's always a miracle for me every day, because every day I medicated myself with sugar. I've been in the program 9 years, and I've had the same sponsor now for 8 years, and my sponsor has a sponsor. So I'm so blessed. It really, really helps me, every day. My sponsor has always told me that if you use 7 out of the 8 tools on a daily basis, you will be abstinent. I think, yeah. Well, it didn't quite work that way with me. So, but I do love the tools. They are, I thought about wearing a tool vest or tool belt, like that. But anyway, the first one in here is the plan of eating. And on a daily basis, a plan of eating has saved my butt so many times, because I'll just have it there in front of me. I carry it in my pocket, and I whip it out when I'm, in that confusion state of being hungry or tired, or try not to do that anymore. Don't get too hungry, too lonely, too angry, too tired. That's when you whip over to the. It's always prayer first, pray, and then for me, anyways, and then asking for help to use the tools, because using the tools is a healthy thing. I am not a healthy person. I'm basically, like the other person said, I have a mental illness, and I am a liar. That's my default, and my default in life is to go straight to compulsive eating when anything goes wrong. I've just, recognized that in this last year, trying to work with computers, that, I go straight to compulsive eating, and then I'll make a phone call, but every once in a while I call first, so it's just, my sponsor has been so great in just training me up on a daily basis that, today's a new day. She has never ever given me in 8 years, a word of criticism or a word of condemnation, or, well, sometimes she's a little controlling, but but those three things are what I was raised with. That's what I know. And so it's taken me a lot of years to come to acceptance of the love that my sponsor, this program, has to offer me on a daily basis. So, and that's the tools are part of that love. And I think when I woke up this morning at 4, and one of the things that helps me a lot is meditation. And I'll be laying there in bed, and I'll just be what my friend calls stewing, And I would dearly love to just be able to meditate laying down, but I can't do it. I can't do it. So the first thing is to, what I wrote is to get up, get up. And for me, it's like sing a song. And when I sing a song, that helps me minister to to kind of push the anxiety away, the you know, it's just downright craziness, because, you know, I've experienced better, I experienced unconditional love, and I still, you know, struggle with waking up anxious. And in this last year, I've been willing to say, higher power, change me. I don't want to stay this way. And that's has been kind of the attitude that has caused better things to happen, to be able to you know, make some healthier choices. So and, you know, I always thought this whole program was about food. I knew it was a spiritual program, but I always, because I'd been in other 12-step programs, but I always thought that it was about food. And I don't know, many, probably your people are, a lot of you are familiar with the HOW program. I always thought the HOW program was to tell me how to do it. You know, I didn't know. I mean, I think I read somewhere that it stands for honest, open, and willing, but, you know, I didn't hear that. So anyway, so the first, back to the first step, the first tool here is a plan of eating. And it says there are no special requirements for a plan of eating. And I'm just so grateful for that. It really is training me. This program is training me up in not being so full of rules. You know, this need to have it, you know, like my own way. It has to be perfect, you know, or else I don't do it. You know, I give up. And anyways, that's one of the beauties of, and the truth of this program, because for years I didn't think that was so. I thought there was only one way of eating, you know, having a plan of eating, and it never really worked for me. And so that was really discouraging. So, you know, it's very encouraging to know that I can, you know, work through my doctor. I can work through a nutritionist, you know, seek help, you know, beyond my sponsor, beyond what I know, because what I know has got me here and, you know, got me into a sick state in the first place. So, but I do, like yesterday, I didn't ask my higher power for a plan of eating. I was in a hurry. I was excited, you know, getting ready, and I skipped that, and it was not a good day, you know. And then, you just kind of go from, oh, you know, what's wrong here? And of course, I can't process that stuff in the evening. I'm a morning person, so by evening I'm like, oh, and especially with my work schedule, because I finish up my 40 hours in 3 days, and I'm through on Thursday evening. And so by Friday evening, I mean, I was just falling asleep. I really wanted to hear last night, so I stayed up, and it was great. But I was feel embarrassed to be falling asleep. I thought about putting my head over on the person next to me. You know, it's just, where can I lay down? But anyways, I get to process things in the morning. So, you know, I should be at peace about that. You know, in the morning time, I can get up. I can do the one of the steps, writing. You know, it usually starts with the time of meditation. However simple that is, surrendering to a higher power than myself. And that seems to be totally necessary for me. I can't live very well anyways without meditation on a daily basis, however simple that be, if it's 10 minutes in the morning or 20 minutes. You know, it doesn't have to be the rule way that I always thought it had to be. You know, it was, Anyway, I suffer from the anxiety, so it was like for a while there, it was like it had to be an hour every day. And so, anyways, it doesn't have to be that way. I actually asked my sponsor if we had the slogans in OA, and she said, yeah. I go, well, I never heard them, you know, 8 years old. You know, keep it simple. That's really what is like my mantra, you know, keep it simple, you know. My 10th step is kind of down to what didn't work yesterday and then what worked. So, you know, I was able to say, well, I didn't have a plan of eating. I did write it down this morning. And then what worked was that I did put one foot in front of the other to get here. So that was really good. I had a very simple conscious contact with higher power, and I was really very filled with gratitude and joy, which is, you know, that's recovery for me, because it's the opposite of being anxious and being depressed like I had been almost all of my life, severe depression, and you know, gosh, I'm so much better than I used to be. So, you know, I can laugh and I appreciate the little joys in life, and without the sugar, you know, I appreciate people's faces. You know, it's, life is much more interesting. So it's really good. So anyway, we go on to sponsorship. You know, sponsorship is invaluable in my program. Highly recommend it. And beginning to learn how to sponsor myself. And one thing my sponsor told me when we first started is that the most I could expect from her was another recovering compulsive overeater. And so that gives me help in starting my own sponsoring. You know, I don't have the answers. And the more better I learn to listen, the better it is to encourage people. Meetings. I probably only missed 5 meetings in my whole entire 9 years. The stubbornness in me came out in kind of a, you know, showing up every week. You know, I was eating sugar on the way there and I was eating sugar on the way back, but I showed up. And, you know, all the time driving, they go, I shouldn't be here, you know. Oh, well, tradition 3 really is like so beautiful, because I qualified for tradition 3. You know, I had a willingness to not eat compulsively, and very spotty abstinence, but it's grown. You know, over the years it's grown, and after the sugar was removed, my weight went down, and now this last year or two, I've been actually accepting my wheat allergy. And that has made my weight go down too. So I'm maintaining a 43-pound weight loss, and it's really wonderful when I know that the way I was putting on weight every year, I would have been at least 250 by now. There's no doubt in my mind. You know, my mom was always overweight. I mean, it was my way of life, you know, food and all the compulsive eating. Once again, like our keynote speaker, having to chew. You know, I have to chew. And I've been relieved of that a lot. I don't have to chew gum anymore. The sweeteners, I don't need them anymore. It's like, this is really higher power stuff, because it's just great. And having an ease, because of the willingness, I think, having an ease about a food plan. You know, there's some things I can eat, and other things that I look at, I don't need that. I don't have to have it anymore. It's just totally amazing because there's a lot of stuff that goes along with a wheat allergy, you know, the being a celiac. So it's been good. All right, I'm going to, anyway, go quickly over the rest of them. Telephone, it says in here the telephone weighs 100 pounds. Okay. All right. Writing, just for us writers, it's what really helps us work our programs. If you're not a writer, you know, don't worry about it. So literature, awesome. If you're not a reader, listen to it, you know. I think I would gladly just read it to people that wanted to hear it because it would help me and help them. Anonymity, totally necessary, because all of my life I've put people on pedestals. And, you know, if you had a degree or something, I mean, you were, you know, really way up there for me. And it doesn't work that way. This is a program of service and being needy, you know, where it's great, you know. Now I can say thank you, higher power, for being a compulsive overeater, because it's just has so blessed me, so changed me, you know. And then service, carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. That's the basic purpose of our fellowship. With that, I'll leave it to Holly, so maybe we'll have some time to share afterwards. Thank you all.
Thanks, Joan. I'm Holly. I'm a compulsive overeater. And, Dot, could you give me... actually, I have a kind of beginning part that I want to keep short, so if you could give me the first 5 minutes, let me know when I've gotten there. Okay. My sponsor assigned me to this topic, and she didn't tell me why, but I think she did because she knows that I have a story regarding the tools that I would like to share. When I came into the program, I got absent right away. I'm not telling my story now, but the tool I used, I read the literature, I devoured the literature, I went to meetings. Telephone was not my strong point. I really liked hearing that Joan's sponsor told her, if you work 7 of the 8 tools, it was that sense of, you don't have to work every tool to say you're working the tools, but work most of the tools. But telephone was always a difficult one for me. But I devoured literature. I went to meetings. I had a food plan. Sometimes my food plan was write it out in the morning. For maybe the first 3 weeks I did that. The rest of the time was I had boundaries. I knew what my boundaries were. I knew what I needed to eat and what I needed to avoid. And that was my food plan. You know, I didn't have to write it down every day. There was something in the back of my head that said, that's too hard to do. let's see. Could I have the pamphlet so I can refer to the tools? I had sponsors, but I used them only when I had a decision to make or when I needed to do a step. I didn't have the kind of relationship, a daily relationship with a sponsor, but I did use sponsors when I needed them. Again, meetings, I didn't use the telephone. Writing, I did a lot of writing in the beginning because I was going right into that fourth step. Literature I devoured again. Anonymity, I love anonymity because anonymity allows us to be honest. Honesty is essential to this program. Honesty with ourselves and others is essential. And if we know that you're not going to take what we say out of these rooms and destroy our public reputation, then I know that I can tell you. You guys understand. The rest of the world doesn't understand. And as long as I know you're not going to be sharing it with the rest of the world, then I have the freedom to be honest. And then the other hand, other side of anonymity is putting principles before personalities, so that we don't make stars, that we're all the same. I came into the program, I was a person who had, I was either better than you or I was less than you. Come into this program, realize that no matter what our qualities are, we're good at some things, not good at others. In this program, I learned that we are all, not all the same, but we are all equal. And that's part of anonymity. And service. I love to do service. I started meetings. I was the key holder for meetings. I did intergroup service, lots of service, because service, I had the strength, the energy, the time, and it was great to do that. After a while, I started what I call slouching into relapse. After about 10 years in the program, I started, you know, my boundaries around the food. I had certain foods I ate and certain foods I didn't, but the size of the portions, you know, portion creep. You guys know portion creep. I started gaining weight. I was also getting older. I probably needed less in the way of portions. I was doing meetings absolutely faithfully. Thank God for my commitment to going to meetings. Because as I started slouching into relapse, as I went through relapse, meetings kept me alive. But I didn't read, I wasn't a newcomer. I'd read all the literature. So my reading of literature was whatever we're reading at our meeting, that was what I was the literature. Writing, if we had a writing meeting, I did a little writing. Still wasn't using the telephone. Saw my sponsor at meetings. I've got a sponsor, I'm using sponsorship. Essentially, I was really only a one-tool person, and that was meetings. I'm grateful that I was committed to those meetings. When I went into relapse, I entered what I call my season of grief. I lost a very good friend to AIDS. That's the 5 minutes. Okay. I lost my mother, my father. I was in an accident. A lot of things just piled on each other in terms of grief. And meetings were not enough. And I started to eat, especially after the accident when I was laid up and taking pills. And you have to eat it with food. You have to eat that pill with food. That's easy. So I started really gaining weight. I gained a lot of weight, but I kept going to meetings. And, you know, I kept doing service and saying I was abstinent because I wasn't binging. And I wasn't eating sugar, so I thought I was abstinent, but I wasn't. I was turning to food to deal with that grief. At some point, I saw what I was doing. I recommitted to abstinence and stopped gaining weight. But I had what I call imperfect abstinence. I was not eating too much because I wasn't gaining weight. By the way, I had gained all the weight I lost originally, my first abstinence, already gained all that plus a whole lot more. So I gained a lot of weight, but I stopped gaining. Very grateful for that. But again, I was still only using the one tool of meetings. After a few years of that, I'm grateful I wasn't gaining any more weight, I started to have cravings again, and I started, the biggest problem that I had with what I call imperfect abstinence was I was making the wrong food choices within my allowable foods. One of the problems was I had, as I got older, I started having some digestive problems. I couldn't eat a full meal. So I had to eat like 5 or 6 half meals. Well, instead of having a half meal being half as much protein, half as much starch, half as much fruits and vegetables, I would have just the protein and the starch, and the next time, well, I don't want to have a half meal of just vegetables. So I'll have, you know, I don't have enough room for vegetables is kind of what I was saying. So again, choosing the wrong foods, and pretty soon the cravings started coming, and I had a few nights of really not being able to stop eating. And there was one night I want to put this in the right chronology. I realized that I was again going to slip into full relapse. So I went to my meeting. Yay, I was going to meetings. I went to my meeting, and someone shared at that meeting, when we were at my meeting, we do pitches on the tools. And I always pitched on meetings. Sometimes I pitched on service because it got me to the meeting. But someone shared, when we were doing pitches on tools, someone shared, she said, I like to think of the tools as the gifts. And I thought, that's really good. And it made, I've got goosebumps right now, because this was a changing moment in my life. I started to think, and I went home and I thought about that. I always think about tools as heavy things that you pick up to do hard work. Ever thought of that? That's what a tool is, you know? You know, and you've got the tool belt on, and it weighs you down, all those heavy tools to do all that hard work. But a gift, if you've ever had a hard job to do and someone gives you the right tool for the job, ever experienced that? The right tool for the job is a gift. And so I said, I am going to, you know, when you get a gift, you have to unwrap it. It's not enough just to have someone hand you the gift. You've got to unwrap it. And I decided I was going to think of the tools as gifts and using them as unwrapping the gift. That night I went home and I had not a binge, like, you know, crazy, crazy binge, but I had a planned snack. And after that planned snack, I had another of that planned snack. This was all within my boundaries and everything. And then I had a third. And as I was eating that third one, I was crying. Hey, when you're crying when you're eating, good sign that you need to call your sponsor. Okay. My sponsor at that time, wonderful woman, I love her dearly, and she was a wonderful sponsor, but she did not have access to email. And I felt that I needed daily contact, and with my allergy to the phone, I thought email would be a very good way to maintain regular contact with a sponsor. Well, current sponsor at that time didn't do email. And I remembered that 6 months earlier, I had thought of another person that I knew in program that I would ask to be my sponsor. And the day after, the morning after, I'm trying to get the chronology right here because it's a story. I got to get it right. The morning after that crying and eating, I got up and I was sitting on the toilet. And as many of you do, I had OA devotional materials next to the toilet that I hadn't opened up for years, maybe, sitting there. And I said, I'm going to open the gift of literature. And I picked up this For Today book. And I read it for that particular day. And the topic that the person was talking about was how she got a new sponsor and did what the sponsor told her to do. I said, I need to open the gift of sponsorship, and I know exactly who I'm going to ask. And then I said, pardon my French, oh, shit. I'm going to have to open the gift of telephone to call her. Oh, no. But I did. And I called her, and I called her up, and I said, oh, I got her answering machine. So I left a message on her answering machine, and I said, I would like to ask you to be my sponsor, and I want to have an email relationship. I need this. Is this something that you could do? I left that on her answering machine. And while I was waiting for her call back, I'm thinking, I'm just going to do whatever she says. Whatever she suggests doing, I'm going to do, because what I've been doing is not working. And I said, even if she suggests planning my food every day, I know that's really, really, really hard, and it takes a whole lot of time. But if she says to do it, I'm willing to do it. So several hours later, she called back, and she said what she wanted me to do was a daily inventory, and she had a little format that she used for this daily inventory, very, very quick and easy, and send that daily inventory to her, and we'd see how it went. And then she said, if you want to send me your food, you can. Well, you know, between the time I called her and the time she called back, I realized at that point that I wanted to send her my food plan. I said, I want to open the gift of the plan of eating. So I started at that point giving her, doing this inventory. The structure of it, you may have heard of this, it's the AEIOU inventory. First, you say if you're abstinent or not. And I choose to write, yes, I was absent, no, I wasn't absent, and then here's what I ate. So I give an accurate picture of what I ate the day before. Then E is what kind of exercise did you get? And I just say whether I got any exercise. Eventually I started using a pedometer so I can report how many steps I took. You know, again, it's just a way of bringing to my attention what I'm doing every day. Just bringing it to my attention. Am I getting an exercise? Has it been 4 days in a row that I said, no, I didn't get any exercise? I is, what do I do for myself? What did I do for myself today? I took myself to the doctor. I picked up the telephone. I got enough rest, all of those things. What did I do for myself? And O is how were my relations with others today? And this is where I can either report what worked and what didn't work. I love the an inventory being what worked yesterday, what didn't work yesterday. Then U is, it's a little bit of a stretch to fit it into you, but did I uncover any feelings? Or you could say, did I have any uncomfortable feelings? So I can put, it's a time for me to identify what the feelings were that I had that day. Then we added a few. We added a why. For yippies. Are there any yippies today? Were there any yippies? You know, they say in OA literature, when they talk about the telephone, they say it helps us handle the hard-to-handle highs and lows of living. So when we have a yippie, it's an opportunity for me to share something really exciting that happened. And then G, then it's a GTM. And these are just stuff she tacked onto the end at work. G being three things I'm grateful for. Not write a gratitude list of everything in the world you're grateful for, 300 things on your list, and then, of course, you don't want to do it the next day. Three things that day that I'm grateful for. T, what tools did I use? Aha. She wants to know what gifts I opened that day. So I can say, when I send my sponsor my email, my inventory, I am using sponsorship, I'm using writing, I'm using plan of eating, I'm using, what else am I using? Anonymity, because I also send it to my sponsees, and I use a blind copies, so I'm maintaining their anonymity, but I'm also, we're putting ourselves on equal footing. That's that anonymity. I'm being honest about who I am and what I do. I think that's all of them but that's a lot of tools just by writing that daily inventory. And you could Excuse me. Oh, and M is, did I do any prayer or meditation? So then I write down any spiritual practices or disciplines that I did that day. Then I choose to write my food for the day. I'm trying to think how it's time to wrap up. So the main thing that I get out of this sponsorship by email is that I can, if I want to write a lot down, I can write a lot down and know I'm not wasting my sponsor's time because she can read it whenever she's able to. When she has time, she can skim it if it's getting boring, you know. So I know I'm not wasting her time. It's daily contact. I think I'm using both telephone and writing in the process of email sponsorship. So I can include telephone on there, although I only put telephone, write down that I use the telephone if I actually pick up the telephone and call someone in program. That's just for me, but I'm getting what I needed. Okay, this is the last thing I want to share. Is as soon as I did that, I lost a lot of weight. I gained a little bit back and then plateaued and have maintained a 25-pound weight loss for 5 years now, which is terrific. Wonderful. But I'm so much more excited about that I'm using the tools every day. And a year and a half ago, I knew that I was going to start into another season of grief because my brother was dying of cancer and my dog was 14 and a half years old. So I knew that I was going to be experiencing grief. And I shared at a meeting that I was so grateful that I was using the tools, all of the tools, not just meetings. When my brother did die, it was very sad. What I didn't expect was for my dog to die the same night. I heard that my brother had died, and then I had to take my dog to be put down. It was extreme grief, but I had all the tools to deal with it. Not heavy things to pick up to do hard work. It was having hard work to do and having the right tools for the job. I'm so grateful. And I did not lose my abstinence this time when I went through my season of grief. Very grateful for that. Also, one other thing that's happened in my life is that I have a chronic disease that means that I need to get a lot more sleep than most people do. And I can't make my home morning meeting, and it's difficult for me to make evening meetings. And I haven't made the effort to find noon meetings. So sometimes I don't get a meeting every week or two meetings a week. Sometimes I get a meeting a month. And that would have killed me when meetings were my only tool. I'm grateful that I was using 7 of the 8 tools every day. Now when I go to a meeting, it's a great gift to be able to get to a meeting. Wonderful to be at this convention, to be able to have so many meetings to go to and so much face-to-face. But using the tools every day, I have a lot of contact with recovering compulsive overeaters who remind me that I am not the star of the show. I am not. What is the theme for the convention? I no longer run the show. Thank you. Okay, we have others who share. Will be time for 3 minutes. So now it's time for open sharing. If you want to share on the tools or your story or however, whatever you want to share on, please come up. And this is, it doesn't look like, are we being recorded? Oh, he's in some other room. Okay. So you are being recorded. If you could just use your first name. If you don't want to use your first name, use a fictitious name. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Dorothy, and I'm happy to be here. Last night, I was really convinced that I was here alone. And that no one would ever notice that I was here or wouldn't notice that I wasn't here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I went to the first session this morning, and one of the people who was a speaker came over and threw her arm arms around me and gave me a hug. I think hugging should be a tool. I'm the timer, so I will keep an eye on myself. Two tools that I have been able to make good use of. One is the telephone, and yes, it does weigh, in fact, 100 pounds, if not maybe 1,000. But when I started with my sponsor, she said, you know, okay, call me when you get home from this convention. This was like 6 years ago. Call me when you get home from the convention. Tell me whether you ate on the way home. I was like, okay, so I called her. She said, okay, call me tomorrow night. Okay, call me tomorrow night. And so I was in the habit of it. And 4.5 years ago, my mom died. And the first person I called was my sponsor. And I called her and I said, it's me. Mom just died. And she just said, I'm sorry. What can I do? And I said, just love me. That's all. I just need somebody that's, you know, that knows. And then I called my brother and did the other stuff. But I mean, that was the first person. It's like by the habit of doing it, I knew the phone number. I knew I could call. And I used it again just a few weeks ago. I was at a thing on the East Coast, and the instructor in this thing, the workshop thing I was at, was someone that I just wanted to kill. And I was so frustrated by it. And I thought, I'm just going to eat. I'm going to run up to the store and get something to eat. And then I said, wait a minute. I have my cell phone, and it has my sponsor's phone number in it. I said, pulled it out, and I pushed the button, and she answered the phone, and I said, there's somebody here I want to kill. And she said, okay, well, let's not do that yet, you know. And I ranted for 15 or 20 minutes. And then she said, okay, can I go back to my work now? And I said, yes, you can. And I didn't kill him. I did go up to the office, and I talked to the person in charge and said, these are my concerns. This is what's happening. And I did it in a balanced way. And the other tool that I use on a regular basis, and sometimes get a little carried away, is service. I maintain the meeting directory for my intergroup. I'm a key holder for something. I'm a treasurer for something. Being a treasurer for a meeting makes you get to the meetings because nobody else wants to hold the money. Thanks.
I'm Ken, a compulsive overeater, also a relapse survivor. The tools. I like to speak to the tools because sometimes I forget how important a plan of eating is. For me, my physical recovery has a substantial side of that recovery triangle, the spiritual, emotional, and the physical. And it's important that I maintain that. By the grace of God and my choosing to work this program to the best of my ability, for 28 years, the better part of 28 years, I've been maintaining around 140-pound weight loss. And that speaks to you in these rooms and these meetings, because my physical health is dependent on my maintenance of a healthy weight. When I came into the program at 350 pounds 28 years ago, my blood pressure was at stroke level, 210 over 150. And the doctors, they put that blood pressure cuff on your hand or your arm, and they would take my blood pressure and just shake their heads and say, the doctor will be with you shortly. And I got tired of that. And today I can stick my arm out there and say, go ahead and take my blood pressure. And that's a wonderful thing. I come from a family where food was placed on the altar, and we all bowed to it. We worshiped food. The generation before mine, my mother's generation, my aunts and uncles, she was from a large family, 9 of them. Every single one was a compulsive overeater, and 5 of them were alcoholics in addition to that. Of that generation and mine, some of my first cousins, 6 of us at one time or another in our lifetimes hit 300 pounds. 2 or 3 of them, 2 cousins and 1 uncle, hit 500 pounds, one of them twice. And the one uncle, when he died, they guesstimated his weight at over 600 pounds. That was how I was raised. Food was the greatest gift of love you could get. Thank you. And from that, you know, here I sprouted from that garden. And I don't have to live that way and haven't had to live that way even including the relapse, keep coming back, the meetings, the plan of eating, and working all the other tools there's no time to go into now. But all of that is why I'm here today. And one 30-second story, 28 years ago, my daughter was pregnant with a person who would become my grandson, and I prayed before that boy was born, I'm going to try this new program of Overeaters Anonymous. He visited us in Montana last weekend. He's 28 years old, and we had a great time. The gifts of this program know no bounds. Thank you.
Are we supposed to stop at 2:50?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well then, let me close. Close workshop on time, it says here. let's close with the third step prayer. So, you want to stand?